Welcome to Lightning Bug, a celebration of grassroots progressive politics in rural Pennsylvania. We stand for the protection of all people, the environment, and the rights enshrined in our Constitution. We support an informed citizenry and equal opportunity for all to achieve the American dream. We as constituents will hold our elected officials accountable. We are committed to equality, inclusion, acceptance, and fairness. We are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are not alone. We are Lightning Bug. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Lightning Bug. And what a week it's been. It's been really crazy. I'm your host, Dwayne Heisler, and our other host is...
Jessica Britton. Welcome.
So, gosh, there's been so much going on, and we were talking just before about maybe some of the items we were doing this past week and what we'd like to share with you.
Absolutely.
And so, what, Jessica, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, as we mentioned, we have had a very busy week here in Columbia County. I think the highlight for a lot of us was our Blue Wave Brunch, which was held... just this past Sunday at the Bloomsburg Fire Hall, which was a really great event, sold out great event.
Yes, it was. That's right.
And we had many candidates speaking. It was a really nice community family-based event where we had really an incredible auction that took place. Who knew that Eddie Sanders, candidate for the 109th district here in Pennsylvania, was also an auctioneer.
I know, wasn't he incredible?
He came out of nowhere to auction off a pie that Marilyn Meeker was nice enough to provide.
So let's tell them a little bit about that. Marilyn Meeker is an incredible volunteer for the Columbia County Democratic Committee and also for Columbia County Indivisible. Mm-hmm. And her culinary skills are just amazing.
She's the best.
Oh, she really is. And so she makes this just amazing lemon meringue pie.
It was the biggest pie that I think I've ever seen.
I know. I don't know how she gets the top of that to stand up like that. And how she transports it without having a problem.
Yeah.
And so we ended up, Eddie ran the auction there and it ended up going for $60.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what, it's worth every penny. I've had a piece of that pie
and
it's really good. Chris and I bid on it the one year, the local sheriff, I think he paid $100 for the pie that year.
Wow.
That was great.
And it had everybody laughing. Lieutenant Governor candidate John Fetterman won the pie in a fierce bidding war with Dwayne Heisler. So
we had fun.
He also wanted some pie. So sorry about your loss, Dwayne.
It's all right. His wife looked so determined that they were going to leave with that pie.
Yeah, she was very focused on that pie.
She really was.
Understandably, because it did look amazing. So that happened, and that was fun. That had everyone laughing. And all the candidates spoke. We had Mayor Fetterman speak as a lieutenant governor candidate. We also had Ray Sosa speak, who's another candidate for the Pennsylvania lieutenant governor.
First Latino candidate
for the Pennsylvania lieutenant governor, which is great because Pennsylvania does not have a good record on diversity in our state offices. So that's really amazing. And then we also had our three candidates for the U.S. House of Representatives here in the ninth district. Denny Wolf, we had Gary Wegman, and we had Laura Quick, who are the three candidates angling for that primary win in May. And it was nice to hear them all back to back and get a chance to hear some of their positions and hear them speak and see how they present themselves for the first time that I've seen them all together, at least. I'm not sure who else has seen them, but that was a really good experience.
What I really like is how they have respect for each other.
Yeah.
And you know, and we're, gosh, if you look at, for example, the race for our governor, and on the Republican side, how they are just, you know, it's such a vicious race and such mudslinging.
And trashing each other
really
constantly.
And it's the same thing with our lieutenant governor on the Democratic side. I have not heard one thing.
Yep.
From, you know, the fact is we have good, they're all good candidates too.
Exactly. You can tell that they all, like, as you mentioned, they all respect each other. They all listened to each other. You could see that in the room. They are know willing each other to talk to each other.
They know each other's speeches, right?
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
Here's the thing. They're all focused on what's good for Pennsylvania.
Exactly. Instead of being out for personal gain for themselves or political power, they do really seem to want what's best for our state and for our country. And I think that that is something that's really lacking on the other side. So I think that gives us an advantage moving forward.
So here's another shout out then. So we had this event in the local fire hall.
Mm-hmm.
It was sold out. We had over 120 people there.
Yes.
We had Maryland's pie. Mm-hmm. We had, the local candidates there and the statewide candidates there. We also had kind of a basket auction as well.
Yes.
And whoever those two little kids were, they were just amazing.
We had amazing volunteers
yes.
who were helping to draw the winners for our basket raffle. And that was really great because, it's very easy to take your kids to something like this and have them just be bored or something like that. But giving them the opportunity to participate was really great. And you could tell the one little boy, man, he just stole the show.
Well,
he took it away. Like, he was ready to go. So, I think he's emceeing our next event.
He really should be. Well, he was so excited because he was pulling out the numbers and calling the numbers, and someone would yell out, "I've won!" And he wasn't getting the fact that he was pulling the winner. He thought that he was somehow like winning the lottery. Like, he's like, every time I pull one, someone wins.
Oh,
it's like,
I yes, didn't catch that.
They
that's
do,
amazing.
And that's what was so funny about it.
Oh, because what are the odds, buddy?
I know, it's like, oh my gosh, so you keep
great.
On pulling out the winners.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
That was funny.
So that was great, and just to have representatives for statewide races, but then also for the U.S. House, but also for our state House, because we had Eddie Sanders, who was providing auctioneer skills as well, and then we had Sarah Donnelly, who is also running for the 107th District in Pennsylvania here. So it was great to see that variety.
Right. So one of the events I want to bring to the table was something we did on Friday. Every Friday I have a conference called the Regional Roundtable, and it's made up of a group of organizations and this past progressive organizations. And this past Friday we actually extended that to include some new organizations.
That's great.
Our network is building, and so we had the Delaware Valley Democratic Committee. That's with a small D. They're located in Pike County near Milford. In fact, I'm going out there today to do a session, a training session on rural Bill of Rights, which talks about how we have conversations with our neighbors.
That's great.
Communication is the key. But we also had Wayne County for Action. We had Columbia County Indivisible, of course, Action Together. Indivisible Hazleton, which is really exciting because...
Shout out
they,
for them.
I know, how about it? They had that march. They're building their capacity to be doing work. Planned Parenthood is always in on that conversation. SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. And we're hoping that we'll have... Indivisible Poconos
us
next time around too, which is really great because the ideas of being in this conference call are organizations that have capacity to do actions, to lift up various pieces of legislation, to have us do legislative work where we're contacting our members of Congress or local reps in Pennsylvania and being able to just see what's on the radar for everyone so that we can really network and focus on getting things done. So that was exciting to be a part of that call.
I'm sure.
On Friday.
Yeah, and seeing all these groups working together so that no one's doing twice as much work and we're getting the messages out to a wider base of activists and that's really encouraging because that hasn't existed before. So you're really on the on the ground floor of getting those networks built, which is amazing.
So with all this positive talk, what could possibly go wrong?
Well,
that's our new segment. Instead of what's it going to take, I'm going to call this section "What Can Go Wrong." So on Wednesday, this week I was on another call with the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. First of all, shout out to them. They are an amazing organization
that are
really on top of legislation.
So much important work.
Yeah, because, with all the craziness, especially on a national level, these state issues will sometimes slip by.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what's trying to happen right now. We became aware of House Bill 1618, which has to do with the SNAP program.
Yeah, the SNAP program, which just to clarify, is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, most commonly referred to as like food stamps, is what it has, came out of. So that thing. So for disadvantaged people to get help buying food.
Right. And then the other bill was House Bill 2138, which revolves around Medicaid. And so we were informed by the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center that that legislation was moving through the Pennsylvania House Health Committee.
Right.
And it looked like it was going to be pretty much along party lines and that was going to pass. And indeed, that happened just yesterday.
Yes.
And so this is fast tracked and they're trying to run this thing through. And I think whenever you see something move that quickly, it's because there's some bad stuff in it.
Yep. And they don't want people to have time to pay attention to it.
Right, right. So one of the things, just a simple explanation with Medicaid, we were not originally in the expansion that happened. Pennsylvania, had their Republican governor that said, we're not going to do this. Well, one of the first things that Tom Wolf did when he came on board was open that up. And, all of these people were then able to get this benefit, this health care benefit, which was primarily coming from the taxpaying money that we paid to the federal government, just coming back into our state. And there were people, in terms of exemptions, that in areas where there is high unemployment, they would now qualify for Medicaid. And this is part of it that's under attack, because in House Bill 2138, they're talking about doing away with some of those. In other words, we're going to ignore the local economy.
Yeah.
And just that if you can't find a job, well, then too bad for you. We're going to, take Medicaid out from under you.
Sure, because it's definitely just that simple. If you can't find a job, it's because you're not looking, right? Well, it's not that there aren't jobs available, because these local economies are depressed.
And that's exactly what this is doing. This is all focused around these work requirements for Medicaid and SNAP recipients. And it's based on that false stereotype about poor people being like unwilling to work, or the false theories about the impact of the social safety network on work effort. And that's just not, it doesn't make sense with when the facts get involved, because the majority of SNAP and Medicare recipients actually work in any given year. In fact, 3/4 of SNAP or Medicaid recipients work over the course of a year.
Yeah, so these are not people who are just sitting around not working. The majority of these recipients receive benefits for less than 2 years in a 4-year period. So these aren't people who are sitting around for years and years and years, which is usually the narrative that's given in these sorts of conversations, not working. These are people who are working for X amount of time and just need some help. That's what it comes down to. They need help providing food to their family and providing health care to their family.
Right. If there are people, and there are people who do receive this that are not working, that generally those are people who are ill or disabled or taking care of young children or elderly parents, or they're busy looking for the job. And so I think that's a big part of it. But here's the other thing, like, what should we be doing?
Right.
And I think what we should be doing is encouraging work by making sure that we have investments in things called work training and childcare. And maybe in those areas where there is high unemployment, we could perhaps have some creation of even some public sector jobs that we could offer, so that there is something to do. And here's a big thing. How about increasing the minimum wage?
Definitely.
Like
$7.25 an hour, which is the, minimum wage, is not going to get you very far. That doesn't provide for your family in any real way.
I'm really happy to hear that part of Wolf's budget plan is to increase the minimum wage, because I think that that's going to generate, it will generate real revenue.
Absolutely.
Because when the minimum wage is raised, that creates more revenue for the state to fund things like our health care or our education programs, which are sorely underfunded in Pennsylvania.
Definitely.
But and each year we do these gimmicks of, we'll sell off some things for liquor control board, or we'll raid this fund for a one-time high or whatever. We don't have those real sources of revenue, whereas raising the minimum wage would increase that for us.
Definitely. And what we don't want to see is people who are working, who are in fact working. The whole idea of work requirements is deceiving, really, because a lot of people who are working under these new requirements that are being pushed would not still be able to access health care and these benefits, even though they're working. Part of the reason right there is that minimum wage is so low and that wages are low.
Well, one of the estimates that the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center says is that by doing these kind of these burdens of an additional work requirements, there's still work requirements there.
Sure, yeah.
But by expanding them the way that this legislation is proposing, that you're looking at maybe about 300,000 people that could be uninsured because of that. And so what that does is increase the cost to doctors and hospitals by $450 to $900 million in reimbursements to Pennsylvania. And so the net effect of that is that when you have Medicaid work requirements, it increases health care and health insurance costs for everyone in Pennsylvania. It does exactly the opposite.
Exactly. Because yeah. I think we all know health care costs are constantly going up and are such a burden on so many families in Pennsylvania and around the country. So let's make that a little bit more difficult for people all across the board, because that is, in reality, what this sort of thing would do.
So with all that, we just gave a lot of information about House Bill 1618 regarding SNAP and work requirements, and House Bill 2138 for yes. Medicaid and the work requirements there. What does this mean for millennials? Like, what do you think is the lesson to be learned here, or what can we take from this?
Well, I think that, you know, millennials...
This is, by the way, the Millennial Minute.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
We always put at least 1 minute aside. Minute. Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at millennials who are so often unable to enter the middle class and who are unable to build that financial security because of a wide variety of issues, but student loans, the lack of real work training, vocational training, and that sort of thing because of the low minimum wage. You know, that's why you see students, you know, or young people leaving areas like ours because the wages are too low. That hurts the local economy, but it also puts more of a burden on them as well. So it all comes back to, why are we making it harder for people to have a secure middle-class lifestyle?
I don't know, Jess. Why are we making it harder for people like this?
I don't know.
Well, because we don't have their interests in mind.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously.
When your interests are to wealthy donors and the legislators who are looking for more power.
And large corporations.
Large corporations.
Right.
You're not concerned about young people just entering the workforce or people who are, you know, maybe a little bit older, who are struggling and need a little bit of help.
So I have a feeling, like, the way this conversation's going is that we're just building up to a massive plate of chicken and waffles. Like,
because now
I'm thinking, like, on a national level, like, that we just brought the conversation from the local fire hall and what we're doing to help, like, our democracy through what's being proposed
in Harrisburg,
the attack on the poor, to the motivations, you know, and now we have some breaking news, right?
This is like the
biggest plate of chicken and waffles you can think
it's
of.
It's like, it. You don't get more chicken and waffles than you can possibly get from one Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan.
Oh, yes.
Breaking news here on Lightning Bug, even though you may not hear this today. Speaker Ryan will not seek re-election. I wonder why.
Why, Jess? Why would he not be seeking re-election?
I don't know. It's like, it's going so well for him now.
Look at
there.
His leadership skills. He's been able to do so much.
He has been able to do so much. I mean, here's the thing. We may have mentioned this before, but when you look at chickens lacking courage, Paul Ryan, when you look at people waffling on their positions and constantly going back and forth to whatever they think is politically smart at the moment,
right,
let alone what happened 5 minutes ago, but at whatever moment, it just doesn't get more chicken and waffles than Paul Ryan.
So it kind of reminds me a little bit of that Far Side comic. And one of my favorites, I'm reaching back a little bit here, is the Boneless Chicken Ranch. You know, like, is that... Like,
indeed.
How is he able to stand?
Yeah, no one knows. Scientists wonder all the time how Paul Ryan can stand with no spine.
So now, in fairness, we haven't heard his... Is he giving that today?
I believe he's holding a press conference today.
Could he be doing it now? I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So
I'm
what do you sure. think will be his reason? What's he going to say?
Well,
let's pull out the crystal ball and see if we're right.
In my crystal ball here, I would imagine that he'll give the standard, well, I want to spend more time with my family. Which is what we've heard, by the way, speaking of other chickens, a record number of congressional Republicans say in the last year, because they're, quote, retiring, unquote, in record numbers this year. It's almost as though something is keeping them
away. I think they need to spend more time with
their
families.
They all miss their families so much.
Gosh, they miss them so much. Yeah.
Miss them so much.
Let's get back to with our families.
You know, and...
Family values.
Family values, absolutely. Always concerned about the families. But, you know, the important thing is, and we don't pull this out of nowhere, Paul Ryan has been hyped for years as this champion of the middle class, despite the fact that all of the Medicaid requirements and the work requirements and all of those things that we talked about on a Pennsylvania level is also being pushed at a federal level. And, you know, Paul Ryan is always so concerned about the budget and balancing the budget, no deficit, until all of a sudden they have a chance to pass a really reckless, tax scam, was really what it was. And then all of a sudden his concerns about these things just poof, disappeared.
Right.
You know, so waffling on the highest possible level of our government.
It's amazing. So just to go back to what he's going to say, you know, he might also include, because we heard it from our own Charlie Dent in Pennsylvania, just saying that the atmosphere right now in Congress is not one where anything can get done.
Right.
And, well, thank you, lack of Republican leadership.
Sure.
It's so funny. He'll say that we can't get anything done, yet he has the power
Absolutely.
To bring things up on the House and to actually whip. And, well, maybe he doesn't. If you don't have a spine, you can't do that kind of stuff.
It's fascinating. True,
but
true.
Who's he going to point the finger to?
It's fascinating that he's using the same excuses for not getting done that he was in the Obama administration, where now there's a Republican president, there's a Republican Senate, there's a Republican House. So why are you not getting your agenda through? That's on you. The Republicans control all the levers of government and are accomplishing nothing.
So this is, I wonder what kind of repercussions do you think are going to happen now as a result of this? Like, what are we,
it's huge because, you can't really say that there will be a lack of leadership in the House because there's already a lack of leadership.
Like, who would fill that vacuum?
Yeah,
right now?
I don't know. I mean, there are some, undoubtedly some scary possibilities, but I don't know.
But they went through such trials to get him in there.
I do not know that the House Republicans can tie their shoes in the morning, let alone decide... who is going to be their leader, because they can't seem to figure out what their goals are.
Well, it's a good thing that they have their health care, because if they step on their shoelace and fall,
Absolutely.
They can actually take care of things. And
It doesn't, whether or not their constituents have health care is apparently pretty unimportant to them, which is really sad, but there we are. Their health care plan is pretty good, from what I understand. So they're good on that. And they also don't have to worry about their tax burdens, because they made sure that they and their wealthy donors were well taken care of with the tax bill that passed at the end of last year.
Right. So we're going to hear that announcement today.
Yes.
I would think today.
Yes.
How
coming
did it
today
get out initially? Because I didn't really
I started seeing some sources close to Paul Ryan type news alerts late last night and early this morning. So I don't know what, I'm not sure. I haven't had enough time to dig into why the timing has occurred right now. I'm sure we'll find out more about that as the next few days go on. But this is really, you know, at a time when the Republicans are really running scared and all talking about, you know, you're seeing a lot of talk about how, you know, they're afraid of the blue wave that is, you know, predicted to be coming. This really has to upend their strategy for keeping the House.
Can someone have a conversation with Mitch McConnell about his family? They're probably missing him.
Do you want me to give him a call?
Please let him know.
Sure.
No. Hey, we've been concerned about you. Maybe his ears are burning right now because he's heard about Lightning Bug.
We're on his radar here in Columbia County, Pennsylvania.
Well, doesn't he have a family?
Well, he does. His wife is what?
Oh, that's right.
Elaine Chao is
right.
In Trump's cabinet. Secretary. So perhaps they could both ride off into the sunset together and spend more time together and stop doing damage to the American taxpayers.
Right.
But I don't see that being real likely because Mitch
McConnell...
She's
not one of those who's being replaced.
Mitch, not yet. Not yet. I mean, she could be tomorrow for all that we know. But, you know, one thing that Mitch McConnell is good at, it is finding ways to put middle-class Americans and disadvantaged Americans on a worse playing field for themselves. So
okay, so we definitely have a big plate of chicken and waffles.
So much chicken and waffles right here.
So just to review, I mean, we start off with some of the events, you know, locally here in Columbia County that we did, and then talked about House Bill 1618, and which is about SNAP and work requirements, and also House Bill 2138 about Medicaid. So maybe we should wrap it up with the idea that we should ask people to do something. And that's
definitely
probably, and I think this is going to move very quickly, and it's in the House right now.
Yes.
So if you are a Pennsylvania resident, it's very important that you contact your members of the House of Representatives and let them know to vote no on House Bill 1618 and House Bill 2138. It does not have the best interests of Pennsylvania in mind. It will do the exact opposite of what they say they're seeking in terms of work. We should be focused on maybe some infrastructure in the state of Pennsylvania, and maybe funding our schools and creating jobs, you know, in the healthcare industry instead of a more of a burden on Pennsylvania. And so I think we should move that forward. And so, I would like to say at this point, once again, we are Lightning Bug. We are hope for our future. We are lights in the night, and we are not alone. We are Lightning Bug.